continue on study from the Gospel of Matthew 25. Matthew 25, verses 14 through 30.
I live with her.
Yes.
Yes. And to me, her gift is to share.
Oh, I love it. I love it.
She is the one share.
She's a giver.
Yes, she's a giver.
Okay. Okay.
In Ghana, I know how many people they sister is serving them.
You see that?
So it's a gift.
It's a gift.
That God gives it. Yeah.
You see that? So a lot of times you don't know what your gift is. Ask someone, what do you think my gift is? So you know what you do that too. You see that? And so in that doing, it should be dedicated to the kingdom where we get today. Good question. Brother Rock.
I think it happened to be official about the analogy of the single talent to be 20 years of work.
Yeah.
20 years worth of work is a huge amount of money.
Yes.
So I don't think even people can have such a money and not do anything.
Okay.
But I don't want to come back to, I won't be able to understand. I think when that guy is teaching, he used things that you can see, you can understand.
Yeah.
Yeah, we can get that way. A talent may be just 1,000 pounds.
Mm.
The 2,000 may be 2,000 pounds.
Mm.
The 5,000 may be 5,000 pounds. Yeah, the one that give more talent to now, let's not understand character.
Mm.
It may be a rebate to somebody.
Okay.
It may be a rebate to someone.
Yeah.
You only see that is that one is not enough for him.
Mm.
The attorney may be it may be too envy. I don't know that together that will share the money, I don't know.
Mm.
If that that together will not be envy, why didn't you give that 5 and 2 and didn't give me 1?
Okay.
So when you look at that, we have to understand it. That sometimes you understand the business, you don't need to have a big capital.
Yes,
true. Don't have a big capital.
Yes, yes.
You want to have small money be, just have the potential.
Yes.
What do you have to do?
Desire.
Of doing that.
Yes.
Then if I balance two of this and I say,
yes,
in the next 3 days, it can increase.
Yes.
Then you must start give a good analysis for him.
Yes.
I don't want much from you.
Mm.
When you put one, like, I don't have this country. But my country, if you put 1,000 or 1,500 pounds in a bag, you either have 10 dollars or something like that at the end of the month. So that means at least I will have a little bit of money added into it. It will become 1,000 a day. Because the 1,000 was 10 pence or 20 pence or 30 pence.
Yeah.
So we need to look at the character of the one man that gave him the talent.
So he needs to use wisdom. He needs to use wisdom. So again, with the ability comes wisdom. It's say, like you said, you're not going to put things and be charged things. All of us perhaps have done something with good intentions and it didn't work out, but at least you tried. But the problem with this one talent man, what did he do? He took it and he didn't do anything. Isn't that right? So that's a different mindset. So like you say to yourself, I take this rule, pray and ask God to bless it, and you see it multiply. Exactly, you're again and again and again. Or to just sit on your hands and do nothing. Yeah, we will be held accountable for that. It's the same thing for your children. You don't send your children to school to come back with bad grades, right? I want to know what happened. You know, what happened? What can we do? What can you do to improve that? You see? Because what are you doing? To grow in that gift or talent. So if you know how to do that in the natural, but we need to do that in the spiritual. You're right? So Jesus is trying to, as you say, take what they knew naturally and apply it spiritually. That's what it's called. Okay? So, and the condemnation is because he squandered his opportunities. Sometimes we squander opportunities. God puts something in front of us sometimes and say, that's not, I'll do it next week. I'll do it tomorrow. Or tomorrow's my promised service. You see? So, we are each stewards of three things. What are those three things for those who were here last week? What are the three things? We are all stewards of
time,
talent, and treasure. Time, all of us have time.
Time.
All of us have time. Not the seasoning. Huh? God gives everyone last one of 24 hours a day. Isn't that right? That doesn't matter where you live, whether or not you're meeting God, your location. All of us have a talent. At least one. And all of us have what? Huh?
You might not have a lot, but you've got something. Amen. So, the master came, he distributed his goods to his servants to make them stewards. 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 1 and 2 says, let a man consider us as what? Servants of Christ and stewards of the mysteries of God. Moreover, verse 2 says what? It is required. What does that verse say? Moreover, it is required that what? That a steward be one found. What's a steward? Somebody wants to know what a steward is. In the Greek, the word is oikonomos, a house distributor or a manager, to oversee. He is an employee in that capacity, one who is given someone else's goods to oversee. What does that mean? The money you have in the bank is God's money. The house you live in is God's house. The bed you sleep in is God's bed. The car you drive is God's car. He just gives you that to hold on to it for a brief time. It's no such thing as my car, my house, my money. That's God's house, God's car, God's money. Am I right? He has entrusted that to you to use as you see fit, and prayerfully, if you're a Christian, that you use it for His glory. Okay? So, Psalm 50. Someone turn to Psalm 50, because you're looking like you're interested. Psalm 50. And someone read verses 7 through 10. Psalm 50, verses 7 through 10.
Listen, my people, and I will speak. I am God, your God. I bring no charges against you concerning your sacrifices or concerning your burnt offerings, which are ever before me. I have no need of the gold from your store or of goods from your head. For every animal of the forest is mine, and the cattle of a thousand hills.
God doesn't need you to do anything special for him. He says, verse 10 says what? For how much is God doing? He says, for every beast of the forest is mine, and the cattle on a thousand hills is his. Yeah? So, when we come, even when we give every son an offering, for God loves a what?
Cheerful.
A cheerful giver. See, God allows you to give back to Him in proportion to your gratitude for who He is and what He has done for you. So your giving is an expression of your love for God. Huh? So, you know, some forgive because they think if I give more, God's going to give me more. But if God owns everything, that means He's giving it back to Himself. Isn't that right? Well, we think. Huh? You remember Luke 6:38 says, give, and it shall be given unto you. If you give, good measure, running over, shaking together, says, for with the same that you measure, it will be what? Measure back to you. Sometimes we give ourselves more, and treat God with contempt. But remember, in the Old Testament, what's about, are we supposed to tell? How much is the tower? How much was the tower? 10%. What's that, 10%? Would you give God 10% of your money every Sunday? Would you do that? Now just think about it now. You give God 10%, well, how much do you get to keep of that money? You give God 10%, how much do you get to keep? 90%. You ever think of that? You give God 10% and you keep that, you keep 90%. Hasn't God been better to you than that? Can you walk in the door? Okay.
Reach in all circles. Never.
So here's a question. Three questions. Number one, for whom or what ministry can you give some of your time to? For whom or for what ministry can you give some of your time to? Huh? Some of us think that if I give money, that's enough. You might not have money to give, but you can give your time. Some of us are so busy. So busy. I'm so busy. Huh? I don't have time. But you've got time. You've got to make time. Isn't that right? I've got to make time for work. I've got to make time to pray. I've got to make time to cook. I've got to make time. But you've got to make time for God. All of us got time. What about your talent? Do you have a skill or gift that can work for the building of the kingdom? Of the kingdom. I asked a question last week. When you look back in 2023, all of us that are working got paid. How much of that did you get? How much of what you got paid did you give to kingdom business? How much of your time did you give to the kingdom? How much of your talent did you give to the kingdom? What's the kingdom? What's the kingdom? The rule and reign of Christ. Matthew 6:33, but seek ye first the kingdom. But you know what we're seeking? We're seeking our own kingdom. We want to build up our coffers. We don't have time for folk. Folk are perhaps sitting right next to you and hurting. They need some of your time. What about your talent? And what about your treasure? How can you provide monetary support for the needs of the kingdom? Give, and it shall be given unto you. There are some things in the church, in the kingdom, that no one else will know about as you do. But I don't need anybody to pat me on the back or thank me because I know that I'm doing it because God has been good to me. He has entrusted a talent, at least one talent, to every last one of us for kingdom business. Right? So, Jesus gets practical. Jesus gets practical. I like that, Brother Lucky. See, he already knew that you would have that question, and the answer is right here in the text. Matthew chapter 25. What can we learn from these talents? Number one, each servant was given capital, a gift, talent, or an assignment, and nobody was without opportunities. You see all those folk on the street begging for money, or people that need a helping hand, that you walk by, go make eye contact with, that's opportunity. Each servant was given capital, a gift, talent, or some according to his ability, we say it. Whatever opportunity one has to render service to God, he already has the ability to do it. Is it that we don't know how to do it, or is it that we don't do it? All of us have opportunities every single day. Call somebody, visit somebody, do something for the kingdom. Am I right? And also, number three, one must work while he waits. Remember the virgins. Remember the parable of the virgins? They need to work while they wait. With opportunity, he gives us the parable of virgins. Said that we must be what? Prepared, even as we wait. You're waiting for the bus. You know, when you're at the bus stop, you got to be alert. Because you don't know when that bus is coming. And you look up and it's gone. That's opportunity. What were you doing? You were on your phone. Not paying attention. You see folks walking along the road. Not on the sidewalk. They're not even making eye contact with you. I say, good morning, and well, damn, you didn't see me.
What?
Huh? Oh, yeah. Because you were in that room. I know there's not a bus in here. The main lesson is that it is wicked to be lazy, and it is also wicked to be idle. This world will be evangelized and be told of Jesus Christ. Many or most in the world will be won to Christ or Jesus by a one-talent man or woman. You don't have to know the whole Bible. Somebody asks you the question, what must I do to be saved? Hear, believe, repent, confess, be baptized. Can you quote a scripture with that? What, 5 steps? You've had 20 years to memorize that. You've had 20 years. How long have you been a Christian and you don't know those scriptures? Huh? If you can't remember, write it down, pull in the card. That's opportunity. Don't wait until somebody asks a question. You ought to be prepared. If somebody asks you what's your number, you can rattle it off. Somebody asks you where you live, you can rattle it off. Somebody asks you who won the match yes last night? Oh yes, Chelsea Bar 2.2. And put that whole conversation. But you ask them about the Bible. You ask them about kingdom business. When you go to work, kingdom business. My job. When I go to work, it's to be the best Jesus I can on that job. So when folk have a question, guess who they ask it? Well, because they can see something. And so, and listen, this world will be won to Jesus by one talent men and women who are using the one talent. They have been the only one. The Bible says in James 4:17, therefore to him who knows to do good and what? Does not do it. To him it is what? It is sin. Is it that you don't know? Is it that you don't know? To him who knows to do good. You come to Jesus for questions, for answers. When Jesus gives you the answer, that's opportunity. That's opportunity. Yeah? So we got our job to make people uncomfortable. To make people uncomfortable. So, Jesus gets practical. Matthew chapter 25, verse number 31 says, when the Son of Man comes in his glory, and all his holy angels with him, then he will sit on the throne of his glory. That's judgment. All nations will be gathered before him. You remember the parable of the dragnet? You remember that we studied the parable of the dragnet? Said when the dragnet is dragged and is pulled to shore, it's going to pull in every kind. Huh? It's not going to discriminate. All nations will be gathered before him, and he will separate them from one another as well. Two categories. A shepherd divides his sheep from goats. And he will set the sheep where? On his right hand. And the goats on the left. Why? What's significant about the right hand?
Authority.
That's authority. That's salvation. Then the king will say to those on his right hand, come you, blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. And then he says in verse 35, here we go, practical now, opportunity. For I was hungry, and you gave me food. I was thirsty, and you gave me drink. I was a stranger, and you took me in. I was naked and clothed, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you visited me. I was in prison, and you came to me. Then the righteous will answer him, saying, Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, thirsty and give you drink? When did we see you a stranger and take you in, or naked and clothe you? Or when did we see you sick or in prison and come to you? And the king will answer and say to them, assuredly I say to you, as much as you did it to one of the least of these, who? My brethren. You did it to me. Then he will also say to those on the left hand, depart from me, you cursed, into everlasting fire, prepared for who? For the devil and his angels. God did not prepare hell for you and me. The Bible says it was prepared for the devil and his angels. But if you end up there,
by mistake.
It wasn't by mistake. Huh? It wasn't by mistake. It's because you chose to end up there. And he says in verse number 42, for I was hungry, and you gave me no food. I was thirsty, and you gave me no drink. I was a stranger, and you did not take me in. naked and you did not clothe me, sick and in prison and you did not visit me. Then they will also answer him, saying, Lord, when did we see you hungry or thirsty or a stranger or naked or sick or in prison and did not minister to you? Then he will answer them, saying, assuredly I say to you, inasmuch as you did not do it to one of the least of these, you did not do it to me. And these will go away into everlasting punishment, but the righteous into eternal life. And so, the final judgment. The final judgment. Next, yes. Yes.
That verse is 41 and probably the same to others.
Yeah.
I will try to link it together with the book of Galatians, chapter 6, verse 10.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was mentioned in my brain.
Yeah.
Then Galatians, chapter 6, verse 10 is saying, do all. Mm-hmm. Well, I've got the opportunity to all.
Yes, yes.
But especially.
Yes, that's it. The household of faith.
Household of faith.
Yes.
How do we bring this thing together?
Okay.
So, yeah, now it seems it's specified that my brethren.
Yes.
Now.
Yes. The answer is in John chapter 13, yeah. Verses 34 and 35. We have to read that. John 13, 34, 35. John 13. 34,
35. A new commandment I give to you.
Yes.
That you love one another, just as I have loved you.
Yes.
You also have to love one another.
Yes.
By this, all people will know that you are my disciples. Yes. If you have love for one another.
So where does love start? Where does love start? In the household. Yeah, so God has all of us from different backgrounds, different understandings, and he saved us, washed us, cleaned us, gave us a name, Christian, brothers and sisters in Christ. And now he says, you all work this out and maintain unity, but you've got to love one another. And when you love each other, that proves that you are in Christ. So, if we don't love one another, guess what that says? We don't love God. And so, how can you attract the people on the outside to the inside? How do you do that? By this, all men will know you are my disciples by what? The love you have for one another. It's horizontal. So it starts here. You see that? And so, he says, if you've done it to the least of these, my brethren, somebody's hurting. Somebody needs some time. Somebody needs financial resources. Somebody needs the benefit of your talent. Yeah? So, advice, counsel. Mm-hmm. So it starts in here. This is the dress rehearsal right here. Mm-hmm. So, folks are looking from the outside and say, yeah, that's how Christians act. That's how they treat each other. I don't know any part of that. A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another as I have loved you. Huh? And so, he goes, because guess what? We say all of us have opportunities. We have to be alert. We have to be alert. Somebody stands up and asks for prayers. That's an opportunity. Not just when we see each other, but when we don't see each other. Let me give you an example, for sure, because I want to get practical. I'm a single Christian. Holiday comes around, it's bank holiday or whatever. I'm going to be in my household by myself. But you go on and say, well, and then the next time you come and say, man, we had a good time, bank holiday, we went out, whatever. But anybody asks me, Brother Smith, what you doing on the holiday? Do you need anything? How do you spend the holiday, brother? You see that? That's an opportunity. But sometimes we're so busy, rushing, doing all manner of things. Sometimes even just to ask a question, are we showing care and concern for one another? Mm-hmm. So, next came something that was not really a parable, but a statement about the final judgment of God. It is not just the judgment of Israel that these parables refer to, but it was the final judgment that was prepared for by the principles of these parables the Son of Man. What a day that will be. It will be a gathering of all the world before the judgment seat of Christ. It will not just be the nation of Israel that will be doomed because of their rejection of the Messiah, but the whole world will be gathered before Christ. All of us will be here. Every last one of us. A separation will be made between those who will enjoy eternal life and those who will endure and suffer eternal hell. What is the basis of that choice? What made the separation in this passage? Was it immorality that they had committed? No, it wasn't. Was it war that they waged? No, it wasn't. Was it the widows that they had brought up? No, it wasn't. Was it fornication that they had committed? No, it wasn't. What made the separation between the sheep and the goat? The difference was found in how they treated the needy and how they cared for those who were in need. Everybody's got needs. Are there four or five basic needs that everyone has? Does everybody know what those basic needs are? That every person has? What's the first need? All of us have a need to be loved. Shelter, to have a sense of belonging, we need protection. I'm not sure what the fifth one means. Every person has those basic needs. Yeah? So the righteous had people enter their city and they were invited to their house to stay. The righteous saw people sick and immediately cared for their needs. The righteous saw people in rags and they put good clothes on them. The righteous saw people hungry and they shared the food. The righteous saw people thirsty and they gave them water to drink. The righteous saw people and cared, carried away to prison, and they went into the prison to care for them and share with them. James 1:26 says what? 27 says what? James 1:27. Pure and undefiled religion is this. Someone have that?
Pure and undefiled religion. Before God. Sorry?
Yeah.
Pure and undefiled religion before God and the Father is this.
Mm-hmm.
To visit orphans and widows in their trouble and to keep oneself unspotted from the world.
From the world. Pure and undefiled religion before God and the Father says to visit orphans. And widows. Why orphans and widows? They are what? They are the most vulnerable in every society. Women who don't have husbands. And children that don't have parents. We have a response to that pure and undefiled religion. Do we even care about that? How much of our time and resources have we given to this society? As an individual now, do we even think about these things? You see? And so, people have needs. People have needs. I'm not going to give to that person because they might take my money and go buy alcohol. How do you know that? You don't know that. Maybe you're in trouble. Maybe they don't need money. Maybe they just need something. Sometimes just bend down, get down on the level, and have a little conversation with them. How did you get to this point? What can I pray for? What's your need? You see, they're building a relationship. And so, these people practice pure religion. And so the Lord wants people around him who love needy people. The Lord loves needy people, and he only wants people around him who love them as well. We need to be caring for those around us who are in need. The wicked saw people hungry and went on eating their food instead of sharing. They saw people shabby, ragged in clothes and didn't buy them good ones. They let people enter the city and sleep in the streets rather than sleep in their rooms. They saw people in prison and stayed in them and had lessons on how bad it was to be in prison. So the Lord will say to them, depart. All of us have opportunities every single day. Not this year, but last year, the year before, this congregation sent support to our brother Bonta in India. And what a great joy that made to him and the people around him. But there are people closer to whom they have needs too. When we have our fellowship meetings here, what happens to the food that doesn't get eaten here? Do you take or consider taking that food to the folks out there that don't have food? Do we even consider somebody perhaps needs some resource of ours or yours? Is that even on our radar? You see? And so we're so busy sometimes grabbing everything, taking everything, but what about giving to somebody who can't give back to us? You see, these are opportunities. Even when we were at that building at Pool Road, the man called that randomly, how many of us considered taking him a plate of food during our fellowship meeting, for example? You see, these are opportunities that may never come back again. But the Lord puts them there. The Lord has blessed us in this location for a reason. Our jobs have found out what we're here for. And we all have a responsibility to figure out what that means. We need to look beyond ourselves, because on Judgment Day, all of us will stand before the Master. And we will either find ourselves on the left hand or the right hand based on how we treated one another, first of all, and how we treated the world. And so you get to choose. We each get to choose today. You may not have known this yesterday, but you know today. What will you do? How will that shape our view of one another and this world that we live in? When we leave here, the Lord's going to put more opportunities in front of us. Every single day. Opportunity. That's what you want to remember this week. Opportunity. And sometimes it involves us moving ourselves out of comfort zone. Because that's what Jesus did. Jesus came one long way to save you and me. And now he's asking us to take that same care and love and see the world the way he sees it. And great will be the day that the sign up front that says the Church of Christ is a church like Christ. Isn't that right? Amen. Let's pray. Father, we thank